I'd like to thank you all for joining us this morning in the house of God. My name is Lauren Elias. I'm from Rhineland, Manitoba, from the Rhineland Zummerfeld Church is my home church, and I'm happy to be able to be here with you this morning to share a message with you and to be, this is my first time speaking here in New Bothwell, and I'd like to just greet you all with the words found in Galatians 1, verses 3 to 5. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. This morning I'll be sharing a little bit about myself, a little bit of a testimony, just so that you have a bit of an idea of who I am and a little bit of my background. And then I will be sharing a message with you about a parable in the book of Luke, about a man who goes on a journey and leaves some work for his servants to do. And I've titled this message based on a portion of that scripture, and I've titled it, Occupy Till I Come. But before we go into the message, we have some songs that will be done here. And before we go into the music, let's bow for opening prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your unfailing love towards us. Lord, we thank you that you show us your grace and mercy new each morning. Lord, we thank you that in spite of our shortcomings, you gave your life for us. You love us. You died for my sins. And Lord, we just ask that you would just bless our time together this morning, that we would reflect on that awesome sacrifice that you made, that we would be touched by your love, that it would convict us and cleanse us and draw us nearer to you. Lord, we ask that you could prepare everyone's hearts to hear the message and that it would fall on good soil, and also that you would prepare my lips to speak only what is honoring to you. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' most holy name, amen.
And in blue hymnal, number 487, Amazing Grace. And I invite you to stand.
Right.
number 459, Stepping in the Light. Higher ground.
Thank you.
Thank you for that beautiful singing. It's nice when we can lift up our voices together in praise of our King. So as I mentioned earlier, I'm going to share a little bit of my testimony here this morning, and I'm going to make it brief. I know our time is limited, and I want to leave you or let you go home so that this week you know more about Jesus. It's not so important that you know more about Lauren Elias. But I do appreciate hearing a new pastor to know kind of where they're coming from and to have a little bit of their background. And so that's what I'm going to do here. As I mentioned earlier, my name is Lauren Elias. I was born on June 17th, 1982, to Abe and Mary Elias, who are my parents. Some of you may know my dad, Abe, is a deacon in our church in Rhineland. I was the third child in our family. I have an older brother, Kevin, and a sister, Cora, and then I have a younger sister, Erica, and that is the siblings I grew up with. I was raised in a home where following Christ was a very important thing, and I was taught these things from a young age. Church attendance was always an important thing in our home, and when there was something going on at church, when the doors were open, we were there as much as possible. My parents were always very involved in the church and served faithfully in various roles that were given to them, and this was a great example for me. They also taught their children about integrity and about what it meant following the Lord, and their teaching and their example was a great influence on me. Their consistent behavior and actions that matched their words was a great example for me to follow. They were not perfect, but they always tried to do what was right. And if it was not for their example, I'm not sure where I would be at today. As most anyone, I went through different struggles in my life, and I always had the desire to serve the Lord, and I gave my life to Him at a young age. But that didn't mean my life was going to be smooth sailing from then on. There was a lot of questions that came to my mind as I was growing up that needed answers. And then there was the desires of the flesh that came into play that tried to pull me in different directions. And this did not always go together well with what I had been taught or with what I knew to be right in the Word of God. And I found myself getting distracted and caught up in the pleasures of the world. And I allowed this to happen till I realized I had put myself into this scenario that is described in Matthew 6, verse 24, where it says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." So here I was caught between a rock and a hard place, you might say. I was trying to serve two masters. I wanted the blessing of the Lord on my life, but I also wanted to go my own way and to serve the pleasures of the flesh. And it became very clear to me that if I was going to keep going in this direction, I would be severely hampered in my abilities and in my own Christian walk, and also in my abilities to raise a family, to be a spiritual leader in the home. All of these things would not go well for me. And I was still single when I came to this realization. But God was working on me. And it was only by the grace of God and much prayer that I was finally able to loosen the snare of sin on my life and to overcome that and to get back on the right path. In the fall of 2003, I met Susan Penner, who made it very clear and easy for me to see that life without her was not going to be a good option. And so, to make a long story short, 11 months later, we were married in the August 7th of 2004. That will be going on 18 years this year. This also became a big motivation to me to do better in my Christian walk so that I would be better equipped to be the husband that she needed and the spiritual leader that God was calling me to be. And she has been a great encouragement in my life and has helped me to become less selfish and more considerate towards other people. God has a plan when He puts two people together, and when we walk in His will, we can encourage and build each other up and help each other to be more conformed to the image of God. And looking back on my life, I could see that God's hand had been on my life from when I was born till where I am today. Through the struggles that I had faced, He had been there, even when I did not always recognize it. And if it were not for that, our life might have taken a very different course. In our almost 18 years of marriage, we've been blessed with 6 children. I'll name them here. They're Haley, Aaron, Bethany, Logan, Ashley, and Luke. Our oldest is she'll be turning 17 this year. She just got her driver's. And our youngest is 6 years old. And Lord willing, we are expecting another one for this summer. So we are very excited for that. And having these wonderful children has also given us a great incentive to serve the Lord more closely than we ever have before. Now we are not only responsible for ourselves, but also for these young lives that God has entrusted to us. And so we continue to walk this road, and God is still revealing Himself to us in our lives. And we sometimes stumble and fall, but He is always there to reach out His hand and to pick us up when we turn back to Him. To sum up my testimony, the Lord did it for me in the book of Titus, chapter 3, verses 3 to 7. And this, I believe, is my testimony, and it could be yours as well. Titus 3, 3 to 7, it says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." That was me, living foolishly, disobedient. But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which I had done, but according to his mercy, he saved me. And he says he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that we could be justified by his grace and be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And I am very grateful that I can call myself an heir to this great inheritance of eternal life with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And it was not because of anything that I had done, but because of Jesus and what he did. And so the Lord worked on me throughout my life and told me, and I'm not sure how he told me, it wasn't an audible voice, but I remember sitting in the pews in church as a young boy, like some that are sitting here this morning. I remember sitting there and looking up and thinking, Lord, someday that'll be me standing up behind that pulpit. And that feeling was with me throughout my life. It did not go away, and I wasn't sure if this was something that I had dreamt up myself or if the Lord was trying to tell me something. But that feeling stayed with me right up until I met my wife. And I asked her, when we were getting to know each other, I asked her, if I were to become a preacher, would you still want to marry me? Because the Lord had impressed it so much on my life. And thankfully, she said yes. And so when the call came to have a ministerial election in Rhineland, I had the strong feeling that this was my time. And God had prepared us for this time through different opportunities of leadership in the youth group and in church. And he was faithful, and I can see how he was working on us throughout our life to prepare my wife and I for this time. And so the Lord followed through on the feelings that I had had throughout my life, and he confirmed it through the election that what he had been telling me was not something I had dreamt up, but it was in fact just confirming what he had already told me. And so we thank the Lord for what he has done in our lives and for giving us this opportunity to serve him in this way, even though we are not always sure how to fulfill it in the best way. But with God's strength, he has carried us and will continue to carry us as we move forward. So my hope is that my testimony would be an encouragement to you as you walk with the Lord in your life. And then moving on to the message this morning, which I have chosen the text out of Luke chapter 19. And if you have your Bibles, feel free to follow along. It often helps me to focus when I have the word open in front of me. Luke chapter 19, beginning at verse 11. And we will read through this passage, and then we will take some key points out of this passage. Verses 11 to 27. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. So here in this passage, we read about this nobleman who goes on a journey, and he leaves instructions for his servants to carry on his work while he is gone. And he leaves them with all the necessary resources that they will need to carry out this task. And this parable was given to the disciples to explain to them what was coming and how they should conduct themselves, and so that they would understand and know what they should do after his departure. And we see in this parable some servants that were obedient to his instructions and some who were not. And this parable was not only there for the disciples, but it was recorded in the Word of God for us as well. We also are his servants who are waiting for the return of Jesus. And we also need instruction on how to conduct ourselves while we wait. And so, when we take a deeper look into this passage, in the first verse we read, verse 11, we can see there's a clue there, or it tells us why God spoke this parable. You know, he was near Jerusalem. He was on his way there. And the disciples thought that this was the time that Jesus was going to set up his kingdom here on earth. They thought that he was now going to take the throne, and that now he would be king of the Jews physically and bodily here on earth. It says that they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. They were excited. They thought, this is the time we've been waiting for. This man that we love so much, that we have been following, who's been confirming that he is the Son of God, he's been confirming to us through all these miracles. Now is the time he is going to take the throne. But Jesus knew all these things, and he knew that they needed some instruction. And so he gave it in the form of this parable. But it also has instruction for us. We know the story that we read of Jesus' death and his resurrection and how he ascended into heaven. So we can look back and see, yes, that was not the time for him to take the throne. But then when we look into Scripture, we can look forward and see that he says that he is coming back and he will take the throne. And that promise is just as true today as it was back then. And we are still waiting for the fulfillment of that promise. But we need to remember You know, the disciples were looking for the kingdom of God to appear. Now we need to remember, are we looking for the return of Christ? Luke 12, verse 40 tells us very clearly, it says, "Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour that ye think not." He tells us to be ready, and that he is coming, and we won't know the day nor the hour, but he does tell us he is coming, and he does give us signs of his coming, which we won't get into today, but we do know the time is drawing nearer and nearer. And so as he carries on in this parable, he talks about this nobleman who says who went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom. And he was going to return. He said, "I'm going away to receive my kingdom, and then I am coming back." They did not seem to understand, though, that Jesus had to leave first before he would set up his kingdom. They thought he was coming right now to take the throne. And Jesus had already told them several times of his coming death, that he would die and that he would be crucified, but they didn't understand. They were still looking for an earthly king. And then this nobleman calls his 10 servants and he gives them all a sum of money. He gives them all a pound, which I heard somewhere was approximately equivalent to, could have been $10,000. But it wasn't money that they could have invested. Each servant received the same sum of money and the same instructions to occupy till I come. And that word occupy means to stay busy, to stay productive, not to be idle. And it's expected of us to be productive while we are waiting for our King to return. We're not to be idle, and it doesn't matter if the time is short or long. We are supposed to stay productive right until he comes. And he gave us all the same resource to work with. We have different gifts and talents, sure, and we need to use those all to further the kingdom of God. We've all been given time, which we also need to use to further the kingdom of God. But we've all been given the gospel. The gospel may be what he was referring to in this passage. This gospel, he tells us in Mark 16, verse 15, he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." We're being productive. We are occupying. We are spreading the word of God so that it can bear fruit, just like the investments of the obedient servants bore fruit. This was the commandment that God gave his disciples just before he ascended, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And then we saw in verse 14, "But his citizens hated him and said, 'We will not have this man to rule over us.'" Today we also see that happening in our world, where many are very vocal and say, "I will not submit myself to this God that you say we should serve. I will get my rewards here on earth. I will live my life. I only have one life to live. I'm going to live it to its full." But God says this time that we have here is nothing compared to eternity. You know, what does it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And this nobleman kept his promise, and he came back. And when he came back, he called his servants back to him and said, I want an account of what you did with what I gave you. He wanted to know how much they had gained with what he had given them. And the same way Jesus says that he will come back, and we will need to give an account, as it says in Romans 14, that every knee shall bow and give an account. So they gave their account. The first servant says, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. You know, 10 times he had gained from that. And his master said, well, thou good and faithful servant. And he said, since you've been faithful in a little, I will reward you with much. And he gave him authority over 10 cities. In the same way, our faithfulness here will not go unrewarded. And it's not because we deserve them. Our righteousness is like filthy rags to the Lord. But our obedience, our sacrifice, our submitting to him is like a sweet savor to him. And so he rewards us because of his goodness when we obey him. It's because of his great grace that he shows us this great love. And then the second said, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he also received his reward. And the rewards were proportionate to their obedience. And God keeps his promises. And then the third servant said, you know, I knew that you were a tough man, and I knew that, you know, you were, like it says here, that you were an austere man or a hard man to deal with. And, you know, he was afraid that he was going to just mess things up, so he did nothing with it. He laid it up in a napkin, he says. He wanted to make sure that nothing would happen to it. But that's not what God had commanded him to do. He said to invest it, to multiply it. When God gives us something, when he gives us the gift of the gospel, or we have been saved, our mentality should be to be productive for the Lord. But if we're going through life thinking, you know, I'm just going to do my best to get through this without giving Christianity a bad name, I'm going to just keep to myself, I'm going to not put my step out, not going to stick my neck out, but I'm going to just try to behave myself. That is not obedience to the Lord. We're more concerned about preserving ourselves than we are about serving the Lord. Are we keeping the gospel wrapped up in a napkin? Or are we willing to step out even though we might make mistakes? Are we willing to go forth with the gospel? And this is a message that I preach to myself more than to you this morning. Because in reality, it's much easier to stand here behind the pulpit than to live this out in every day of my life and sharing the Word of God with people you meet on a daily basis. You know, this man who had laid his gift up in a napkin seems as I read in one commentary, like he was more of a legal Christian, more legalistic. And this is a quote from that. It says, "This man, it seems to me, represents a believer who has not found salvation in Jesus Christ to be as attractive as he had expected. A legal Christian who knows nothing of the grace of the gospel and is acquainted only with its moral requirements. It seems to him that the Lord asks a great deal and gives very little. This feeling leads him to do as little as possible. He thinks that God ought to be content with abstinence from evil doing and with an outward respect to his gospel." If we recognize that our God is not a harsh God who is looking to judge us for every wrong that we do, but he is one who is willing to give forgiveness, who loves us, who has given so abundantly, if we would see him that way, we would not say like this man did that he was an austere man or a harsh man. We would see, no, this is a loving God, and I owe it to him to serve him. And I know our time is up, but I'd like to finish off here with a few points yet. Verse 22, this nobleman said to him, "Out of thy own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant." You know, this man had said, you know, you're an austere man. You sow or you reap where you don't sow, and you take up where you have not laid down. That's what this man said that he believed about his master. And the man says, "I'll judge you by your own words. If you had really believed that I was that harsh, you would have made extra effort to serve me. But really, you're just thinking about yourself. You know, it wasn't really that you were doing me a favor by keeping this money safe in this napkin. You know, when the Lord gives us something, he knows that there is a risk with that. We're going to mess things up. We're going to make mistakes with it. But he gives it to us anyways and says, use it. And the same way we are to use today what God has given us. And he says, if you had at least put it in the bank that I could collect interest on it. You know, today, you know, that could maybe be compared even to us. You know, if we really struggle with sharing the gospel or with encouraging other people or whatever it is, at the very least, we can further those who are doing the work. We can help those along. We can pray for them. We can support them. We can do those kind of things. At least we'll collect some interest on what you have done or on what you have with the gift that God has given us. And then at the end, that unfaithful servant had that taken away that he had been given because it wasn't his to begin with, and he never invested it the way his master told him to. And then there were those enemies who said, "We will not have this man to rule over us." He said to them, "Bring them before me, and I will." And he said, "Slay them before me." Their life was going to be taken. Their reward was taken away from them because they rejected this great gift that could have been theirs. And so it's my encouragement to you all this morning that we would take that amazing gift that God has given us, the gospel, that gift of salvation, that we would not have it in vain, that we would not take the name of the Lord our God in vain, but that we would embrace it and that we would allow it to bear tenfold fruit the way that first servant did, that we would use what the Lord has given us. Let's bow for closing prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gifts that you bestow on us. Lord, we thank you that you love us and that you have not left us without hope and help in this world. Lord, we thank you that you are coming again and that your promises will all come true. And Lord, may we be faithful servants when you come to take an account. Lord, give us the boldness that we need, the courage to step forward and to serve you, even though we'll mess things up. But Lord, help us, give us strength to honor and glorify you with our attitudes and with our actions. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for the blessings that you give us, and we pray that you could bless each and everyone that came here this morning and that heard your word. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And so I'd like to give you all an opportunity to go on your knees for a silent word of prayer for anything that is on your heart. So whoever is able, please kneel with me for a silent word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers.
Good morning. I have an announcement here. I would just like to make an announcement that if there's any youth in our church here that is interested in Bible or catechism classes, please let us know, either Reverend John Schrader or Reverend Calvin Hebert or me, and we will start with that. We'll let you know when we will start with that then. But if anybody's interested, it doesn't matter if you want to get baptized or not, or if you are baptized, but if you're interested in having catechism classes, just let us know. Thank you. May God bless you.
I'd like to thank you all for coming and for listening to the Word of God and for joining together in worship here this morning. It's been a blessing to share the Word of God with you. And I'd like to leave you with a benediction from Numbers. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And you may go with the peace of God. Have a great Sunday.